to Just the Taste. I'm Scott Curry with Chef's Best. We gather to talk about the trends in marketing, retail, and production in food and beverage that are shaping the industry. Joining us today is renowned creative director, David Ziegler-Vohl. David is creative director for Marketing by Design. For over 10 years, he served in the creative director role as senior package designer for Trader Joe's. He was responsible for the package design for the nationally distributed Trader Joe's food and beverage items we are all so familiar with. Prior to Trader Joe's, David was principal of Tornado ZV Creative, creative director at Pollock Advertising, and visual director for Buffalo Exchange, which must have been a wildly fun and creative job. You can learn more about David's many talents and services at mbdesign.com and his own website, davidtornado.com. David, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great. So David, you left Trader Joe's not too long ago. You know, tell us what you're up to these days.
Oh, just kind of goofing off and hanging out. I'm really fortunate to have had a decade of my career spent with ostensibly one of the most successful private label grocers of all time. I worked with some amazing talent, really got to know the business of private label, you know, very intimately. But I also have a bit of an entrepreneurial spirit. After being introduced to the private brand for Marketing by Design by Christopher Durham, whom I think you interviewed recently, I just had this sense that there was like enormous room for personal and professional growth. And when I met with the partners, Maria and Richard, we hit it off, you know, quite spectacularly. So it felt like a really natural and a good place for me to take my career, even though leaving Trader Joe's was very tough. So I'm, you know, very excited to bring my talents and expertise of private brand to new clients with MBD and, you know, really just to create some really great work.
Super. Well, yeah, 10 years, a 10-year plus run at a company these days is at the very least a badge of loyalty, and I'm sure it's a wonderful experience that you can parlay into even more success. So, you know, shifting a little bit to your tenure at Trader Joe's, which, you know, as you mentioned, because it's so notable and you know, just kind of ubiquitous in the industry, it's of interest. Let's start the top with kind of your key role. You served at Trader Joe's. You know, as you saw it, you know, what was kind of the value proposition of Trader Joe's? What was kind of the governing thought, you know, behind Trader Joe's that certainly also just, you know, inspired the designs that you helped create?
I think with Trader Joe's, it's interesting because, you know, value, the word value itself is very big at Trader Joe's. Even directly from their website, they say, you know, value is a concept we take seriously. And by value, we mean great, you know, great everyday prices on all of our great products, no sales, no gimmicks, no club to join, no special cards to swipe. I think Trader Joe's has been doing private label for so long that their biggest value proposition is actually trust. You know, people trust Trader Joe's with their lives. And it's a level of trust that's really hard to manufacture. So I would say that, you know, having that built-in level of trust is a big thing for Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the, you know, personal fascinations that I have, which is that for better or worse, when you shop private label at most grocery retailers, you know, you're aware that you're purchasing private label, again, for better or worse. Trader Joe's has managed, in my view, to, you know, design packaging in a way that you almost don't know or feel or recognize, whether you care or not, that you're shopping mostly private label, private brand. I'll guess, I don't know, and nor am I asking you, but probably like 85 to 90% of the products at Trader Joe's, at least the ones I've shopped at, seem to be private brand. Yet when you peruse the aisles, you really don't notice that. I'm sure that's, there's got to be some intent there. There appears to be kind of a common design aesthetic, but it's by no means a template. So, in your words, when you look at, you know, kind of the entire private brand of Trader Joe's, what is kind of the design aesthetic that you aimed for if there was an attempt to create consistency? Because as I mentioned, which I think I'm patting you on the back for, you don't really notice that you're shopping private brand the entire time because each design is so unique.
Yeah, I mean, I think you almost answered your own question without a doubt. You know, anybody that walks the aisles of Trader Joe's will, come away with this conclusion that the design is stylistically sort of all over the map. You know, one might come to the conclusion it's as if there's no style guide. I'm not saying that, but one might come to that conclusion. Aesthetically speaking, you know, some products include nods to the engravings, which are found, you know, in the TJ's Fearless Flyer, which is their version of a circular, you know, an occasional Hawaiian theme, you know, here and there. But I think the aesthetic is really, as you stated, sort of singular to the product and the product's audience. And again, that's, you know, just observational and not a suggestion as to, you know, Trader Joe's strategy. And just to give you like a couple of examples, one of the designs that recently just made its debut in the stores of rose oil hand cream features a really, you know, nice contemporary design, clean typography, a rose copper hot foil stamp, you know, looks radically different than say a grass-fed whole milk yogurt that I designed. So yeah, you can easily observe that the only consistent brand on it really is the logo. And I think this is probably like the future of private label and private brand. You know, if a grocery store that's almost entirely private label followed a strict brand guide, I mean, that would be a really terribly boring shopping experience.
you're right. I'm envisioning that, and that would be I don't know, something out of you know, some, I don't know, weird future. It's just so standardized that it would be, like you said, just,
yeah. I remember
boring, almost dystopian.
I remember when I was a little kid that this would probably be my first experience with private label, and it was just that you walked in and, you know, it was like in a warehouse and cans of vegetables, and it just had a white label and sort of like that Acme lettering from, you know, Bugs Bunny and do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, what is it called? Oh, Wile E. Coyote, like the Acme Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
Face. And that was it. And I think there might have even been like a olive green band that went around. I mean, we've come such a long way from that.
It has, and thankfully Trader Joe's, I don't think, sold dynamite to the Wile E. Coyote. So here, let's give yourself a chance to pat yourself on the back. How many Trader Joe's products do you estimate that you touched or directly designed during your over one decade of tenure?
Well, you know, Trader Joe's is almost entirely private label. I averaged about 150 SKUs a year. That's a lot. I've actually had somebody challenge me and say, that's impossible. That's, you know, you know, it's almost like you're designing something every day. Obviously, some of these were more design intensive. Some of these were like nutrition fact panel updates, that type of thing. But I can literally walk down any aisle and point out hundreds of items I've designed. It's, you know, it's kind of weird, actually. It's like, you just, you know, putting things in your cart and you're like, wow, I designed a lot of this. So, and a lot of items that I've designed have just, they've been, you know, since their inception have stuck around. So.
That's great. A better feather in the cap than me getting excited about my own retargeting ad serving to myself. So if you can, what was your favorite or maybe most memorable design that you did?
You know, I get this question a lot, and I always have a hard time answering it because, you know, there's that thing, you're only as good as your last design. I think one that stands out for me, it's a seasonal item that comes back every year, and it's called A Taste Test of Caramels. But when the project was handed to me, the name of it was A 12 Days of Caramels. And it was this kind of the actual shape of the box was sort of like a, almost like a 2x4. Like it was like kind of a long, skinny box. And inside there were, you know, 12 different caramels, and they had these kind of strange flavor profiles like blood orange and peppercorn. So, you know, kind of unconventional flavors. I was really struggling with the design. Like, I just, you know, 12 Days of Carmels, you know, I showed it to my group, my peers, and somebody said, you know, kind of looks like an Auto Trader ad. And I was like, God. He was totally right. I mean, I was not offended at all. I was like, I know. I'm just like, this is, I know, 12 Days of Carmels. And so I started thinking about it a little bit differently. And I think this is something that's important for private label and private brand designers and teams, is to start sort of thinking conceptually. So, you know, I stopped thinking about this item being, you know, the seasonal, this Christmas holiday thing, you know, 12 Days of Carmels. And I thought, well, it's already in this really unique structure. And it reminds me, like, when I was growing up, I loved board games. And I was like, well, what if this was like a game? And the flavor profiles are so wacky and out there anyway. Wouldn't it be funny if we actually came up with a whole game concept, you know, for this item? And so I came up with a taste test of caramels. From there, the design just designed itself. Well, 4 years in a row, it has been the first thing to sell out during the holiday season, because it's so wildly popular. Just people love this concept. So I think, again, I'm really, you know, patting myself on the back, but as far as something that I worked on, designed, you know, wrote the copy, I think it's important for private label to be able to breed excitement through coming up with not just great products and not just great design, but also thinking conceptually about how consumers are going to react to a package. Why do they want to pick this up? Why do they want to Instagram it? I mean, those are really key, especially with everything being so competitive right now. It's got to be special.
That's wonderful. That's great. And it sounds like with Trader Joe's being, you know, what I would call a quite kind of happy, fun brand, that you had a kind of a long rope to be able to explore. What's your approach to design? You know, obviously it would be a little bit honed by your experience at Trader Joe's, but how do you like to approach a project? Do you like to start with, you know, like a brief from the product manager, and then you know, how iterative do you like it? Just share with me kind of your thought process and how you like to approach a design.
It's interesting. I'm a little bit old fashioned in that I don't like to look at a screen that has nothing on it and just start pulling in type and pulling in different elements. I'm definitely, you know, I start with a sketch. It makes designing so much easier. I like to think about, again, you know, conceptually, even if it's a small detail, involving some kind of element that, you know, if a customer doesn't pick up on it or they don't get it, it doesn't negate the design. But if somebody does get it, they're sort of let in on the joke. So I like to incorporate, you know, those types of elements. Again, I think these are the type of things that separates, you know, good design from great design, and whether or not somebody decides to, you know, post something that you designed or a product that you developed on their blog or their website. Just those little details. So yeah, I think, you know, again, having a story, having a concept makes the design process so much easier, so that I'm not just kind of, you know, staring blankly into space wondering when, you know, what typeface I'm going to use.
I want to talk a little bit more about that we mentioned there, which is, you know, the idea of a concept and why it's so important. I think any marketer listening to this is, I'm sure, tangled with someone that wanted to go in a more safe or conservative direction. I like to always say that, you know, respect the person that's going to read your communication and let them have their own aha moment, you know, because that's when your brand and the message that you're trying to convey will actually get, you know, imprinted and seared into their memory versus, you know, discarded along with the other, you know, whatever, 1500 brands and logos and boxes and ads and everything they see during the day. How important is it to, you know, have that, I hate this word, but cleverness that allows the receiver of the message to have a moment where they get it, you know, kind of, it's kind of like when you get the joke, it's a better joke, you know? how does that apply to to design where you're relying on the relying and respecting the receiver to have a thought process and have a brain and give them credit for connecting the dots so that they have a moment. How important is that?
I mean, I think there are considerations. You don't want to create something that's so esoteric that only 1% of the population, is going to pick up on. At the same time, I don't think you always have to hit somebody over the head with your cleverness. And I think that there is, something about the process of discovery. I think too, this ties in a tiny little bit, but just sort of thinking about, that Trader Joe's is both a store and a private label brand. So they're mostly selling, their own brands as opposed to most retailers that are selling national brands next to their own brands. But I think what Trader Joe's gets and many retailers don't is that simply sort of putting your logo on an item that's not your brand. You know what I mean? Like I kind of want to repeat that. Like a logo isn't a brand. A brand guide isn't telling your brand's story. It's not letting you in on those like clever little jokes or those visual cues. It's clear and bold and PMS 130 isn't conveying authenticity. It's not telling a story. A brand executed well or bad is ultimately, it's the cumulative effect of a shopper's experiences and perceptions, and that could be whether it's online, with jet.com or a brick and mortar, at Target. So I don't know. I think ditching the brand book, is a really good way to start thinking more conceptually about design, thinking more about connecting with your audience, finding those little tidbits of something clever or special. Trader Joe's, I work on this cheese label. It was an oak wood smoked cheddar cheese. And this is a label that was maybe 2 by 3 inches at the very largest. And a good portion of this label was taken up by a nutrition back panel. So mostly what you're left with is type. And I put in kind of like this wood texture and oak wood smoked cheddar. And at the very, very bottom of the label, in small 8-point type, I wrote Oakley Dokley, but it spelled it OAK. So kind of like, Ned from The Simpsons. You wouldn't believe how many people picked up on that. And those are things that you're not going to find, in a brand guide or a style guide. And, I'm not suggesting that. I'll talk about this more if you want to. It's impossible to create that sort of compelling level of engagement. If you have, these eight type faces and you have, these 6 colors and you combine them together to make this. It's like, that's pretty boring.
Very, very well said. All right. Well, David, shifting gears a little bit, away from Trader Joe's, which I appreciate you sharing, just really cool stories. I know it's going to, I'm kind of looking forward, honestly, with my next visit to Trader Joe's to think and muse on what you may have designed and look for those little clever insertions that you had. We shifted to just overall food and package design in the industry. There seems to be a lot of change underway, in my view, from a private brand standpoint. Certainly, as you mentioned, it's moving from this, purely generic, very boring, to an actual branded item where, there's, if not a concept behind it, there's at least an attempt to connect to the customer, deeper than just the Safeway logo or what have you. And we know Coke has stepped out on a limb with their new designs. And I think it was Tropicana, stepped out there a little bit as well. But, what are some of the trends that you're seeing, in food and package design right now? And, kind of what's exciting you about the direction that the industry as a whole is moving?
I mean, it's a really exciting time for private brand in general. I don't want to like, you know, keep shredding brand books. they have their time and place, you know, certainly. You know, I'm not suggesting they shouldn't exist. I think too often newcomers to private brand think it's about knocking off, you know, a national brand, and it's almost like the polar opposite. You know, consumer trust for private brands is skyrocketing. It's a nimble business that allows private grocers to control things like ingredient decks and nutrition values. There's a certain level of impermanence, which is to say, you know, much more flexibility that exists in private brand that national brands, you know, don't have. And I don't foresee Doritos suddenly, you know, radically changing the formula of Doritos. You know, again, private brand having the flexibility to you know, change as consumer habits, you know, or attitudes change. But I think what really excites me is the high level of design we're seeing in the private grocery business. I mean, there's just so much stunning, you know, design happening, especially within HABA categories, specialty products such as small lot coffees. And man, I mean, just like beer, wine, and spirits. I mean, just walk through any grocery aisle. It's just ridiculous. I mean, there's just so much great stuff happening. I actually think it's forcing conventional brands to try and mimic the private brands. I just saw some Sam Adams, some beer, like some 12 packs. And I'm like, wow, they are really like, they're really competing hard for that customer that's picking up the $16 four pack of the latest crazy IPA. So I think it's, just speaking from a design perspective and being a designer, like I'm really excited for all this stuff because it just feels like a wide open, you know, canvas. I do kind of want to leave you with this. I recently stumbled upon this Earth Fair private label cheese. And I wish I could remember the article I was reading, but the image of this piece of cheese. So Earth Fair is a grocer, I think in the Midwest or maybe the Mid-Atlantic. It's just this wheel of brie, but it was wrapped in parchment with a really elegantly designed label, beautiful typography, excellent color choices. But the brand itself, the brand Earth Fair, it's buried so deep in the design that unless you put on reading glasses, you might miss the 8-point copy that reads "Discovered by Earth Fair." Mm. So I think this is where we are headed, you know, that the brand is in the details, not the logo.
So I want to make sure that folks know how to contact you. You have a website, davidtornado.com, which if you don't think I'm not going to ask you about what David the Tornado is, then you don't know me well. We'll come back to that. But you can go to davidtornado.com. And, you know, what do you want to work on next? What's kind of your goal? To continue within package design? You know, do you want to branch away from private labels? Kind of, you know, what would you like to work on in the next, you know, year or two here?
Well, I think circling back to working at NBD, that's sort of why I'm here. And I don't really foresee myself kind of, you know, branching too far out into anything other than private brand and private label grocery, just because I feel like that's what I really know and that's what I get excited about. And I'm really looking forward to working, you know, with, you know, clients that I haven't worked with before. But mostly I really want to elevate design as much as possible whenever I can. And I want to give, you know, my clients the best, you know, possible work. And hopefully, you know, convince them to take some risks along the way.
Awesome. So it's David the Tornado. So what is that, David? Is that an old college nickname? You don't seem like a tornado type to me.
So I really wish the story was a little bit more interesting. I get the story a lot. I'm just going to have to come up with something better than this. But I had my own little design studio in Tucson, Arizona for 6 or 7 years. And the Arizona Daily Star, which is the main newspaper in you know, Southwest Arizona, they were writing a story about what Tucson was doing to keep the creative class, so to attract, you know, talent and the creative class. And somehow my name had been passed on to this reporter. And so he asked if he could interview me. He gave me sort of the gist of the article. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. So we met. with the notes. He left, and like 3 days later, on the Sunday paper, in the top fold, so this is the first sentence of the Sunday paper, right? And it says, David Ziegler Bowl is a tornado of creativity and may be leaving, you know, Arizona. And within about 20 minutes, my phone was ringing off the hook. My clients were like, you're moving? What? You're moving? Like, I even had my dentist call. I was like, you have to pay your bill before you leave. So
there you have it. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, David. As I mentioned, people can find your work at davidtornado.com. It's worth a gander. You will certainly see many package brands that you're familiar with, and I know that some of which are presently in my house. Not to give full endorsement to Trader Joe's, but they are. And then, in Marketing by Design is who the group you're with right now, and if I'm correct, that is mbdesign.com.
Yes, please check us out. We have the talent.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, David. It was this has been a great conversation. It's wonderful to speak with someone that is kind of behind the scenes of so many, well-known and successful designs that are they're simply a part of our everyday life. So this has been really cool, and we wish you the best of luck. And thanks for joining us.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us on Just a Taste, the Chef's Best Production. Join us again next time as we talk to more experts in marketing, retail, and production in the food and beverage industry. You can always visit us at chefsbest.com to learn more.